Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brad Keller, he of the Brad Keller Show, Tuesdays at 9:35 here on 610 Sports Radio. Starts tonight for the Royals against the White Sox, which has suddenly turned into a little, I think for most of us, a little pressure-filled series.
Yeah, I think so.
Now the Royals have slipped out of first place. Yeah. They're a game back of Cleveland and a half game back of the White Sox.
Just won a damn game.
Now in the division, yeah, almost at this point, you're like, five straight losses, things aren't going well, just win.
But it gets to that point where you're like, okay, you've lost five in a row, as you just mentioned. If you go into the series and the White Sox don't perform well, what does that do to your fan base? And I think that's important in baseball. You've got to find a way to keep your fan base engaged. And I think the one thing I still believe from you know, quarantine and lockdown and all that kind of stuff that we had over the last year, when something is taken away from you, you immediately find something else to do. And sports clearly fell into that category. We went 180 days or whatever it was without sports. People found other things to do. When you're winning, people are going to be there. But the minute you give people the ability or the excuse to bail and do something else, they're going to do it, and trying to get them back later on is very tough to do. And
I mean, so, would you rather have watched that game yesterday or Tiger King?
Tiger King, yeah. Yeah, Tiger King.
I know how that ends, and I'd rather have watched that.
Yeah, yesterday was not an aesthetically pleasing game at all.
You know what? I should go back and watch that Don't F with Cats thing.
That thing, that really was.
I know how that ends.
I don't want to watch any of those things I've already watched.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I already know how that ends.
But could I find something moving forward that's new that might have been more appealing?
Yeah, sure. So in this day and age, especially with all the entertainment options out there, you can't afford to go in
day baseball or some Carnival Eats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I watch some Carnival Eats.
Correct.
I'm only about halfway through that new Mortal Kombat movie.
I'm
threatening you, Royals.
Did you see that funnel cake that guy ate at that Carnival that was stuffed with Nutella? Wow, that was awesome.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, on Carnival Eats. So that's what I'm getting at. Like, you don't want to get to a point where five losses in a row and then you lose two out of three to the White Sox and then you have the day off and then you're on the road. You don't want to put your fans in that situation where they go, oh, gosh, I got to find something else to do because they're not winning baseball games.
Now, I do wonder if, like, this five-game stretch has been magnified because we put ourselves in a mindset last year watching a 60-game baseball season of each game means a hell of a lot more, right?
No, I think it means a lot, Ryan, because we put ourselves in a football mindset, right? And for a lot of fans, that's tough to get out of.
Because, I mean, last year we talked about it. Each game was equal to three games.
Right.
I mean, if you had a three-game losing streak, you may as well have been losing 10 games in a row at that point.
Sure.
Well, here you are with five games lost in a row, and I think in the course of a 162-game season, like, those types of hiccups happen. You're going to get swept by teams. I continue to tell you guys earlier in the year, like, the rest of the AL Central just wasn't playing well. You ran into a buzzsaw that was the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
You ran into a buzzsaw that was the Twins, too. Like, they were just
playing good baseball.
And you caught them at the wrong time. But that being said, it still is exposing some of the issues and deficiencies that you have on your team. Most importantly, coming up in big situations, be it defensively or be it offensively, when the going gets tough, the Royals seem to get the hell out of the way and have either an error happen in the field or can't get the big hit.
Right. Yeah. And you're not wrong about that. But I think also, too, like Royals fans want to be all in, but the minute you give them a chance to say, all right, here we go again, it's out. And you don't want to give a fan base of any sport the opportunity to say, all right, I'm out. I'm going on to something else. So I do think, not from a 162-game perspective, is this weekend series in May imperative, but I do think from a fans, like, are we still in on this team, you know, standpoint, I think it is a very important series.
Well, and also against the division. We talked about how bad they were against, you know, the White Sox specifically last year, but you're going head-to-head against the division for the entire month of May. I felt like May was very, very important in that regard to, you know, you can have these vast swings if you perform well or if you perform badly against teams in your division. Mm-hmm. So wanted to avoid that. And yes, you don't let one become two. Well, fours become five.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the bleeding needs to stop and immediately. And now you got the White Sox again. You were, what, 1-9 against them last year?
Correct.
Carlos Rodon with his 0.7 ERA.
You got three really good pitchers going for the White Sox this weekend. I mean, this feels like a big series.
Yeah.
And then the sense of urgency because you've not performed well over the last week.
Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, drop it's back in. Brad Keller Day.
And today's Brad Keller, yeah. And so, you know, we need a good outing from Brad Keller today, too.
So we talked to not only Brad Keller Tuesdays at 9:35, but the skipper, Mike Matheny, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. And when he joined us on Wednesday, he discussed taking a hands-on approach with Brad Keller. We asked him, you know, we've been trying to do our part. Is Brad Keller okay? And he donned the catcher's gear to help out Brad Keller.
I was able to catch his bullpen yesterday, and I still hurt right now.
Oh, you say catching as in like physically caught, or catches as in watched it?
No, I physically caught it, and it's just because he's fun to catch. His stuff is so good. He is so his stuff is right, and it's just another reminder. Like, hey, man, just do that. What you're doing, just do that. Guess what? We're going to help you. Our guys are going to make plays. They're going to just stay the course.
Do you do that much?
When I can. I knew I wanted to watch him, and you know, the best seat in the house is behind the plate. And so I don't do it as much as I used to because it seems to hurt a little more getting up and down. But he's got unique stuff. I haven't caught many guys with his kind of heavy ball life running to both sides of the plate. And his slider was beating me up pretty good yesterday. And the fact that I mean, it was sharp. So I, you know, if I'm going to talk with him about his stuff, I want to get a real good look. You know, I'll keep doing that as long as I can until I start losing teeth or something.
You wear gear, or do you just get back there?
Yeah. No, I had a mask on, so if I'm losing teeth, I'm doing something really bad. But, you know, it's fun letting those guys know that we're really taking an investment into them, and we really are watching, and it's not just some you know, cursory come by and like, hey, that looked good, pat him on the butt and let him walk. You know, it's just trying to take a closer look. And that's what Cal Eldred and Larry Carter are doing such a good job with these guys. They watch every one of their starts multiple times. They watch it live. They go back and break it back down and help them understand, help them grow. But sometimes you just got to take a dive in, you know, like what you guys are doing, trying to, be his sports psychologist. It's great. Yeah. You can't have too many people helping.
I like the fact that, I mean, I hope he's always feeling like he can do it, but just taking that extra step of like, well, I'll go catch him.
Yeah.
We'll go. You guys, everybody else go do it. He and I are going to go down to the He and I are going to go down to the pen. I'm going to catch him.
And well, better to have a Gold Glove catcher that's your manager back there helping you out, because not only is he your manager and your boss, he's been there. He's caught some great pitchers over his career. He's won a handful of Gold Gloves. He could probably help you out with some tips and some things that maybe you aren't doing right that can kind of get you back into the right mindset.
Bradley, let's have a catch.
Or I'm seeing things you're not seeing that you're doing well.
Right.
Which is like, wow, your slider was nasty.
Right,
like,
exactly. Positive reinforcement with him, right?
He was beating me up with the slider.
Like, right.
Okay.
All right.
That means he's throwing it well, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a nice little added step. It's a little thing, but I think that's pretty cool when your manager can go and catch your bullpen session.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to help him.
I would hope so. We'll see what happens tonight. And tonight, you know, big night for Brad Keller. Get out there and stop this bleeding. Be the ace. Be the opening day starter. Be the guy that the Royals expected you to be.
Be Brad Keller?
Be Brad Keller.
Or be aggressive?
No, Brad Keller. Just be Brad Keller. Nothing more, nothing less, Ryan. There's still one spot on the Chiefs that could use some work. We'll discuss next.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there. But wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Chiefs rookies will be in town next week for rookie minicamp. That's going to take place next weekend. The six draft picks, and I guess they still haven't made the official list of undrafted free agents yet. I'm guessing that'll probably come out closer to next week's camp when they've got everybody kind of locked down for that. But Chiefs certainly were full of business in terms of the draft. We'll discuss that in a moment. But also there is one spot that, even coming out of the draft, I'm going, okay, are we there yet? Not that I'm saying they can't by any means, because we saw what they did in an offensive line, Bob, in less than 3 months, right? Like, I can't say you can't rectify a situation in short order, because we saw the Chiefs go to work on that offensive line.
I mean, Brett Veach works every day to make the roster better. That's, you know, that's what a general manager is supposed to do. There really is no quote unquote offseason when it comes to his job. You're always looking at waiver wires. You're seeing who's cut every day. You're seeing what trades are potentially out there for you. Then you get the post juice cuts. Then you get the training camp cuts.
Which may be really
cuts.
Interesting this year.
Could be very interesting this year. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen post June 1st? You know, there could be players that are, you know, available for trade, like Aaron Rodgers come post June 1st and whatnot. And so you've got a lot of offensive linemen right now. Maybe one of those guys becomes trade bait for you, like they did a couple of years ago with Parker Enger to Dallas and getting Charvarius Ward in return. So just because you don't have somebody right now on your roster or a position isn't where you like it, there are still numerous opportunities going forward where there's going to be ample time to improve this roster. And, you know, you got training camp as well. Guys are going to get cut during training camp, but after training camp that maybe you had an eye on in college, like, oh, that guy can really fit in our system. He may not have worked in, you know, Pittsburgh, but he could potentially work here in Kansas City.
So I asked Mitch Holtis about one specific position, the voice of the Chiefs, and that's the corner spot, because right now I feel like they're a little bit thin at that spot in terms of depth. They didn't do that anything involving corner in the draft. Maybe they have a little bit from the undrafted free agent perspective, but where exactly are we at the corner position?
Personally, full disclosure, I wouldn't have mind taking a corner. There were corners there when they picked. I'm not going to argue against any of the picks they made. But, again, and this goes back to Bob's point, you start to look. I say other teams will be looking at the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs may scan the globe looking to see who is the next Charvarius Ward.
Yeah.
I still think Rashad Breeland could be on this team. And if you go to battle with Ward, Breeland, and Snead, and Fenton's your dime, a lot of teams would love to have that as well. So it's not like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? But I think they could look.
But Rashad Breeland's the interesting one to me. Like, that's still a possibility. He hasn't signed anywhere else. Hasn't signed that long-term deal. I thought maybe this time he played his way into a longer deal. He might not. He might be coming back here on a short-term, you know, one-year deal, which would be great. I think that would fill the answer that I'm looking for. I feel like they're one short right now.
Yeah, they may be. I mean, you look at the depth chart right now, and he mentioned, you know, Mitch did Charvarius Ward and Legarius Sneed as your two starting cornerbacks. You like that. Those are two really legit guys that can play that position. But then you start to look at the guys that are behind them. You know, DeAndre Baker. You know, maybe he comes back, you get him back into the mix, but how healthy is he going to be coming off a knee injury? Rashad Fenton is out there as well. And then it gets to like never heard of them before, or, you know, guys that you really aren't comfortable putting out there, like,
right,
you know,
quickly,
Alex Brown and Bo Pete Keys and guys like that. So yeah, maybe Rashad Breeland is a guy that you still target. Maybe he's a guy that you can bring back now, because if he was going to sign that big time deal and somebody was willing to ante up a lot of money, he probably already would have been signed. Or maybe he's a guy that the Chiefs are looking at too. Maybe he's not a fit here anymore, but, you know, Mitch brought him up in conversation. He could still be a guy that comes back here to Kansas City. You like to go out there, try to figure out what your worth is. If your worth isn't to the level where you think it should be, then maybe you go back home and come back to Kansas City and play, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs on a one-year deal. And maybe next offseason is when you can make some money, because then the salary cap is going to be to the level that it's going to be again.
I feel like he's a circle back guy for me.
Yeah,
you go out,
do your
see
thing.
What you got.
We're gonna go do our thing, and if it doesn't work today, maybe it works a couple of weeks down the road.
Call us when you got your best offer. We'll see what we can do. If you don't have your best offer, doors open on a 1 year deal.
Correct. Yeah,
that's where I'm at with them. Right. I don't know if that's where they're at with them or
not.
Because I feel like there are kind of one legit short. Maybe Bo Peep Keys elevates, and you know, he got a little bit of work last year, but not, you know, maybe he's a guy that, you know, takes that next step this offseason and they feel comfortable. They've always kind of felt comfortable at that corner spot too, like,
right,
we got this, it's fine. And it's more often than not worked out.
It has. They've done a really nice job of finding ways. I mean, you look at the way that they acquired Tre'Varius Ward was obviously a trade. There's been, you know, free agents, Alex Brown, we talked about, DeAndre Baker, we talked about, free agent guys that have been picked up, you know, out there. You know, Fenton is a guy who was drafted in the later round. Sneed
they
was
found a
guy.
Nice news for him, right?
Know, yeah. Sneed was a guy who was drafted in the fourth round. So other than the draft, the Chiefs have found ways to go out there. And again, I mean, obviously their waiver, you know, number is not going to be very high. They're going to be picking 31. So a lot of the good players will be picked over by the time somebody falls to them, but it doesn't mean they can't go out there and find a guy and identify a guy like they did with Tre'Varius Ward on somebody's practice squad or who's low on the depth chart, or maybe somebody that somebody's not seeing the talent in that they do, and go out there and make a move for it. So if that's our biggest concern going into, you know, the season, that, well, boy, that third corner is really weak right now, I think we're in a really good spot as we get set to head to St. Joe for training camp this year, hopefully.
Well, Le'Jarius Sneed too. I mean, he had a great season.
Yeah.
Okay. You're asking him to do something a little bit like, is he just, you can just move him wherever and play him wherever? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, he was great in his spurts last year with the injury in between, but is he ready to take on the full scale? And then Ward and Sneed are your guys. If so,
right,
you're probably good.
Yeah.
If you still need some options, you might be a player short.
And don't forget, we'll see. Marlon Character Jr. on the roster now, who they had as an undrafted free agent right
your
after
guy.
The drafted ended.
Your Marlon guy, a lot
Character
of character.
Jr. Yeah, like a big character guy.
Big character guy.
Right.
I'm Mitch Holthus, chatting with us as well about the offensive line, and specifically the second round pick, Creed Humphrey, the center out of Oklahoma.
I think Creed can play right away. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him and Blythe in switching off. But this is a guy that can be in that second lap with Patrick Mahomes and maybe his third lap. Like, this is a guy that can be your 8-year guy, and maybe he's the next second round pick to go up on the Ring of Honor. But he was great on Saturday. You know, we have Draft Fest, and it was less folks this year, but man, they were fired up to be there. And Nick and Creed were there. So a chance to chat with those guys. And immediately, like with Creed, you can see he's going to win over the room. He's going to be, at some point, he will be leading that offensive line room and be a big part of your team. Coach Reed demands his offensive linemen to move. You do not, you've got to move. If you're a guard, you've got to play the power game and move at least like a left to right pull inside behind the right guard. They love to run the power game. But they also have to move. We talk about the screen game. But the center is so key in the screen game. The best screens, some of the best screens Andy Reid has run here was when Rodney Hudson was the center. I still remember the game in 13 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And there were a couple screens where he's out, like, on the corner. And then all of a sudden the linebacker doesn't see him. And then he ear holes him or pops up. And there's this 50-yard screen play. I think Creed can do that because of his ability to move. And so I think that opens up another part of Coach's book. Go back to, hey, the center on the screen game with Creed.
No, I like.
The football Binkley and me got really excited.
Oh, yeah, didn't I like it? More like, screen game.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning Creed Humphrey wrecking people downfield and blocking the sun.
Right, going out there and just destroying people. And one of my favorite Chiefs plays of all time came in the early 2000s with Will Shields, and it was in Arizona. And he's leading the way down the field with Priest Holmes behind him, and he's just knocking dudes down and beats Priest Holmes to the end zone. You're like, my goodness, that's an offensive lineman that's obviously a Hall of Famer, but man, this guy's out there leading the way and doing that. Those are fun plays to watch. And when he said, you know, ear hole somebody, I'm like, yeah, let's go, man. Let's get that screen game going, because I don't think we got to see the true Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you will, last year in that kind of screen game, because the offensive line just wasn't there. It wasn't an athletic enough offensive line to allow them to go out there and do what made Clyde Edwards-Helaire best. And now, listening to Mitch here, that looking at what they did offensively last year, Andy Reid was really doing an amazing job of making sure that offensive line was put in positions that it could succeed in. And we were wondering why the screen, we know that he didn't believe the offensive line was athletic enough to get out there and do the things that he wanted them to do in the screen game.
Defensively, how will Nick Bolton fit in?
The knock on him was coverage skills. I guess I'm not seeing it. Maybe it's, you have to cover as a linebacker these days. People say, and he's a three-down linebacker, but now teams, Kling, and you know this, will put you in a third-down situation on first down because of personnel. Yep. They think that's your weak runt pig. They're going to do that. I mean, some of it they'll do it just because. Some of they'll do it. They think, hey, your backer can't cover in the passing game, and we're going to run these arrow routes or you know, wheels, and we're just going to kill you in it. And but he can cover it. And I don't know if he can cover downfield, but in that 12 to 15 yard range, he's really good at it. I mean, you look at what he was able to do, productivity. We see his tackles, but he had 10 passes defensed in 19 and 15 in 2 years. Now, he had two picks. They might have both been in the West Virginia game. Like, he wrecked them. But the other thing about Nick Bolton, if you dig a little deeper into him, he had some of his biggest games against the bigger opponents. Like, his breakout game in 2018 was against Alabama, at Alabama. He makes the game-saving play against LSU, arguably their biggest win last year. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's stockpiling stats against Nicholls State or Lamar. Or Incarnate Word.
Mitch wanted to say no offense to those schools.
Yeah, why are you taking a shot at Incarnate Word?
I felt a little pointed that time. But guy makes big plays in big games.
Yeah.
Cool. Can cover in space. Good. Mm-hmm. I like the, well, I don't know if you can do it downfield. I always feel like, well, can any linebacker really? If you run them down the field, further down the field, aren't they more liable, you know, to be burned?
Yeah, because you think you could see it in your mind. You're like, what linebacker sticks with anybody downfield?
Right,
now,
right.
5, 6, 12 yards off the ball or something in kind of that box area, fine. But if you're asking any linebacker in the NFL, even like Lawrence Taylor, you would never put him in coverage. But like a guy with that kind of speed, not covering Travis Kelce.
Unless Bob Sutton's your DC.
Good point.
Those days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, those days are gone. 913-576-7610. Be caller number
4.
4, if you know the play.
That's how many hits the Royals got yesterday.
The play of the game Vern
four
gave you.
Damn hits.
On the post-game show for your chance to win Topper's Pizza. 913-576-7610. Be caller 4 if you know that. Now.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, caller number 4 right now. If you know a player involved in the play of the game, you'll win $25 to Toppers with locations in both Mission and Lawrence. And each winner will be registered to win a $250 Mazarese gift card at the end of the month.
Don and KC, today's contestant. Don, can you tell us a player involved in yesterday's play of the game that Vern gave you on the post-game show?
Andrew Benintendi and his 10-game hitting streak.
Here's the pitch, a swing and a flare towards left field. In comes Benintendi, dives and makes a remarkable catch. Oh, what a play by Andrew Benintendi.
Got the name right. It wasn't about the hit streak, but it was about the diving catch.
That's right. Nice play.
But you had the name right. So you win. That's right. Don and KC, a winner today.
You knew Andrew Lefevre was.
There wasn't. That's right.
Weren't a lot of highlights from yesterday's game, unfortunately.
He's looking more and more like Lefevre as the days go by.
That was a nice catch.
Can I make a quick observation?
Sure, yeah.
They're doing it again. ESPN's doing it again. Right now on the scroll, they're discussing the Buccaneers' chances of finishing the season undefeated.
That's right. There it is. They're not going to do that because the Chiefs are going
to
do it.
Why do we do this every year?
Well, because they've got nothing to talk about,
the answer is nobody's doing it.
I mean, it's clear they've got nothing better to talk about.
Who has the best chance to do it? Nobody.
Right now.
Nobody has a good chance of doing it at all.
It is May. And this is
it was hard to do to begin with. Now you added another game.
I read an article on like a Radio Insider website, a sports radio website that people in the industry read and whatnot. And one of the stories on there was a sports radio rely too much on the NFL. And then you look, and I'm like, no, the NFL powers America, right? And then you look up and you see on May 7th, they're talking about
Duncan.
The Buccaneers have a chance of finishing the season undefeated. And I look up, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we do rely too much on the NFL. If in May, before the schedules come out yet, before like even rosters are set, I could see having this conversation when a team gets to 7-0, 8-0, 9-0, unless it's the Chiefs, they're going undefeated. But to have this conversation in May right now, and the way that ESPN does things is this will be a topic over the next couple of days because they'll just rotate out the panel of insiders that they have on there, and they'll bring it up with other people that they're going to have. So this is going to be something that either has been discussed or will be discussed for the next couple of days on ESPN. And so from that moment right there, I'm like, maybe we do have too much reliance on the National Football League if that is the big topic today at the worldwide leader in sports.
I don't know. I think it's
I don't know that we do. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we don't. But the NFL is the engine, guys, that drives the sports world. It just is. And I know people sometimes want to debate that and say they like this sport better than that sport, and baseball will always be my favorite sport. But I appreciate what the NFL is all about. They do a great job of being not just a game on Sunday, but an event on Sunday, but also something that plays once a week for 16, 17 weeks that has you captivated all year long. They've done a great job of making themselves more than just a game. It's become a brand. It's become something we hang our hats on. It becomes something that people follow all year long because the NFL has done a great job of creating signature moments in the offseason like no other sports league does.
Well, I've got the next topic for them like early next week then is if they do go undefeated, will that mean more because we got a 17 game schedule?
Oh, will it mean more? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But because
is this a bigger accomplishment than what the Dolphins?
Well,
yeah, that's the next phase. Will it be a bigger accomplishment than what the Dolphins did?
Yeah, because the Dolphins went 17-0 in 72, right? If you go 17-0 in the regular season, win your two playoff games and the Super Bowl, you're talking about a 20-0 type of season. It was going to be a big deal when you looked at the New England Patriots at 19-0, right?
Yeah,
when they ended up losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl, and now Tom Brady says he would trade a Super Bowl win to have the undefeated season. I think what you're seeing is, yeah, it will be a bigger accomplishment because of the 17-game regular season. But to Ryan's point, it's so hard to do.
But four panelists will be able to decipher whether or not it is more important.
Oh, absolutely. Next week,
For an hour.
Right, yeah. And then they'll bring on Larry Zonka.
Yeah.
If he's still around. I don't know. Is
one
he still
of the ones
living?
That's popping champagne.
Yeah, right.
Will be,
just seems like, and I get it. We all fall victim to these tropes, right? Like we mock you about the Rushmore thing.
Right.
That's
right.
It's been repackaged about 50 times. What's your top three? What's your Rushmore? Give me your top five. Like, and all of these things have all been like, rinse, lather, repeat in sports radio and on sports media, just in general. I just don't understand why we feel the need to do that one every year. It's It's incredibly difficult.
You know,
like name me the list in the, you know, what, 60 some odd years of since the merger, or 50 some odd years, whatever it's been, the 100 years of the NFL. I know they just celebrated that anniversary.
Right.
What, two times?
Twice, maybe.
Twice?
Yeah. Who's the other one? I know we know the 72 Dolphins. Who else? Oh, the Patriots.
The Patriots.
They didn't finish it undefeated.
I mean, Patriots being a clear run at it.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
As opposed to other ones.
Well, I mean, there's been the same amount of winless teams, right?
Ryan, Thursday we'll be discussing this anyway.
Yeah, who's got the best
Now
that the schedule's going to come out.
Bob's going to tell you they're going undefeated.
How about this? We just turned it on its head. We're going to have a conversation about who has the best chance of going winless.
I think we should do that.
Because there's been, two teams, right? Didn't the Buccaneers do it one time?
Yeah, the Bucs did it. But they only did it with a 14-game season.
So do the Dolphins, right?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. 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 But the Lions lost
16. So two teams have gone winless.
No, Cleveland did, didn't they?
That's right. They did.
The Browns went 0-16.
So more teams have had zero wins than have had zero losses in the history of the NFL.
Right.
Yet every year we have the need to have the conversation.
But I think it's just as hard to lose every game, unless you're tanking and you're going out there and you're falling down on purpose. But players don't do that kind of stuff. I think it's just as difficult to lose all your games as it is to win, you know, all of your games. And, you know, we had an old
five
boss.
Five teams went winless. Two of them had ties, though.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. We had an old boss who used to tell us, talk about what sports fans are talking about. I don't know one sports fan that's walking around on May 7th going, who's going to be that undefeated team this year in the NFL? Like, now is not the time, but the NFL is probably, because these guests may not be on next week.
Well,
that's
fine.
Schedule
next
release.
Thursday is the time when the schedule comes
Correct.
Out. We're all going to be going, well, now that it's laid out, even though we know the teams, we're going to know the times.
Right.
You'll be calling for an unbeaten Chiefs season.
Well,
next
I'm
Thursday.
Already calling. I said 192-0. Now I've had to revise that because of the 17.
Now it'll be
schedule,
on paper. You'll be able to go through and you go win.
No,
win,
starting now.
We're going fresh. Clean slate, Ryan.
The 17th game threw a wrench into everything. So you got to redo it all now. So there's 9 years left on Mahomes' contract, right, or whatever it is.
That's right.
So you 9 times 17 is, I don't know off the top of my head, but
if only I had a calculator in my pocket at all times.
That's what I'm gonna look, 201-0, I think, maybe something like that. Yeah, 201-0. I mean, if you go 17 times 9, right? Am I in the ballpark?
153. That's 17 times 9. I'm gonna trust the calculator.
Oh, all right.
153.
Well, I guess 10 would be 170. You know, yeah, because we're down. So 153 is what we're looking at.
That's right.
153-0.
That's right. That's what the machine says, Bob.
Yeah, 153-0 in the regular season. I think that is a legit attainable.
Plus, you got to add three more onto there each
for every
each
year.
So you add 27
so
more.
27
to that.
Is what? 7 and 3 is 10, 5, 6, 7, 8, 180-0. That's what I got him at. 180-0.
816, and yet you continue to talk about it. I apologize for wasting your 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Win.
7000 Squibb Road, Mission, Kansas, 66202. Please submit your receipt. We'll get you a full refund.
I can't believe, one, Ryan, you're surprised, and two, Bob, you're saying, well, I can't believe they're talking about this on May 7th. Of course they're talking about this on May 7th.
Yeah, May 7th.
You would had we brought it up.
You're right. I would have. I mean, I just don't see a loss.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, when you look at the Chiefs' schedule going into this year and you just look at the opponents on it, who do you think they're going to lose to? Crickets.
We're gonna do this next week.
No, we'll do it next week. I gotta wait.
Is Aaron Rodgers still playing for the Packers?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Whoever Aaron Rodgers is playing for, that's who you'll lose to. And give me one Raiders.
Uh-huh.
You'll lose one to the Raiders. That's gonna happen.
I think.
One to the Chargers.
What if they won game against Aaron Rodgers is Packers? You're predicting that one to be a loss?
Yeah.
Opening night.
I said whoever Aaron Rodgers is playing for, because you're gonna get him, right? Whether he's coming to the division.
I'm saying you got him twice, and I'm saying the odds.
God, we're doing this. You're doing it to me.
The odds of the division games, that's two cracks at it, but you're saying if you get one game against the Packers, you're not taking the Chiefs.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Hater.
Packer backer.
Yeah.
That's a home game as well for the Chiefs.
Did you see the story yesterday, speaking of Aaron Rodgers?
Somebody's going to tell me we almost beat him with Matt Moore. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Did you see the story the other day with Aaron Rodgers about now Washington is getting involved, potentially, Josh, and they're planning to make a big-time offer for Aaron Rodgers. And if he ends up going to the Washington football team, that would be the best thing. Now, I think the Chiefs do play the Washington football team this year because they have the
on
NFC
the road, yes.
East. So you would hate to see that from that one game standpoint. But I'm all about aligning our forces to keep him out of Denver and to keep him out of Oakland. Like, if he can go anywhere else other than Denver or Oakland, I'm okay with that. I just don't want him going to one of those teams. You are for him going to Oakland because there's no team there?
Correct.
That's right.
If he wants to go hang there, that's fine.
That's fine. He can go, hang out in Oakland and in the East Bay
yes.
and enjoy life out there with no football
team. Where's the team? Packers, where's the team at?
Right.
Yeah, doing that.
Okay, so he could go to Oakland. But if the Washington football team starts to emerge, like they're going through obviously a whole new rebrand and everything.
Washington's nowhere near the West Coast. How would he possibly be interested in that?
Well, flights are easier from there than Green Bay. You can just one flight, no stops.
Like a time zone and everything. That's a longer trek.
You could figure it out. But I think if you know what, Josh, who the hell cares? The Packers have to trade him. They're not going to release him.
Correct.
And so if the Washington football team gives them the best offer,
that's true.
That's who you're trading him to. Aaron doesn't dictate where he's going.
Aaron doesn't have a veto clause. Yeah. No trade clause.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you've asked to be traded. Okay, I'm going to go find the best offer I can get. And you know what? I'm going to screw you at the same time. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm screwing you. I'm absolutely screwing Aaron Rodgers. Send him to Washington.
Take that.
Oh, you wanted to go to the West Coast? Well, the best offer we got was from D.C. East. Sorry. Oh, you wanted to go closer to the West Coast, like Denver? Yeah, well, the best offer we were able to get is Washington.
Yes, you don't have to accommodate in those.
Right, regions. No, absolutely not. I'd trade him to some nondescript place. Carolina, go for it. Seriously, if I'm the Packers, what do I owe to him? You want out? Fine. We're going to do what's best for our organization. We're going to accept bids. We're going to look at all the bids. Whatever one suits us best, and if we have an opportunity to screw you too, we're going to do it.
We're not necessarily going to take the best offer even. We're just going to take the worst location
for you. Oh, you wanted to go to the West Coast? Well, I you know what? The Jets are interested.
The Jets should be interested, actually. But
sure they should. Absolutely should.
If you drafted a quarterback or not.
Yeah.
The Royals have dropped now 5 in a row, swept in the 4-game set with Cleveland, giving up first place in the Central. So it kind of looks like a big weekend ahead with the Royals and White Sox. Don't want to lose any further ground, and maybe more importantly, you don't want to lose the zip you had with your fans. I think April was great. Got
April
everybody
was
fired
fantastic,
up.
Yeah.
Now you got a bunch of division games. And if you're suddenly finding yourself chasing, I think you're begging people to say, here we go again. April was nice, but I'll check in with you at some point. And I think that's a danger for really any team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a dangerous spot kind of for the Royals right now.
Yeah, I think so as well. And there was a text that came in earlier when we were talking about, the Royals, and they said, I just want to see them play the same style of baseball, basically, that they were playing in April. And I understand what the texter was talking about, and playing the same style of baseball that they were playing in April was getting the key hit, making the key play, coming back from behind, really fighting and battling and, kind of having that Matheny mindset that we saw on opening day and in that first series against the Rangers. And that bled into a couple of more games in April where you never felt they were out of it. You weren't going to bed early, or like yesterday's game. And granted, it's Twitter and it's a very small sample size. But when the Cleveland Indians went up 1-0 yesterday, there was a lot of doubt in the minds of fans. Oh, boy, they got one run. With the way that we're playing right now, I don't know that we can come back from that.
You're a rat's ass about Twitter.
You don't want that to be the mindset of your fan base, right? You don't want that to be the mindset of your team, because I'm sure the team at that point in time felt the same way. Oh, boy, now we're down. Here we go again. You've got to find a way to get out of that. You've got to find a way to change things up. You've got to find a way to deviate from what we saw over the last 5 games. And you've got to find a way to go out and win and gain some confidence. Now, we're all rooting for Brad Keller, obviously, to go out there tonight and do what he needs to do to give them an opportunity to win. But the offense now has to come along and get invited to the party as well, because yesterday was a sure sign of trying to do too much on offense. And really, for the most part, this series against the Indians, I felt like they were trying to do too much. You know, Tuesday night they score 3, Wednesday they score 4, yesterday they score 0 against the Cleveland Indians. And it felt like every time this week during the series, when they had an opportunity to break a game open with a key hit, they didn't get that key hit. They have to start coming through offensively with that key hit, because you can't rely on your pitcher to have to go out there and basically throw a perfect game to give you an opportunity to win. So I think from an offensive standpoint, get back to whatever you were doing early on the season when you were able to come up with those big key hits and break a game open and put up those crooked numbers. And I think if the Royals do that early tonight and they get some confidence going early, I think it can help set the table and really propel them to a few victories this weekend.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. So Brad Keller goes tonight. Mm-hmm. Daniel Lynch will go on Saturday against the White Sox.
Right.
Of course, Lynch coming off his debut. And speaking of fans and fan support, Mike Matheny pointed out with us Wednesday in our weekly interview with the skipper that Lynch's debut just reminded them how much they missed having fans around last year.
Yeah, they did a nice job, too. We seemed like there were more fans in the lower bowl, and it just felt like, man, they're right in the middle of this. And I think, hopefully we can put together a really good rest of this home stand, and we can start jamming more people in the stands. And it all comes down to how we're playing, too, right? We get that, and we want to put the kind of product out there that keeps putting butts in seats. And these fans, the ones that we've had, they've been way more into it. That's the one thing that you forgot. You know, we had some crowd noise last year to try and break up just how awkward it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the energy that the fans can bring is something that you just can't really put value to, and makes the experience. So you look at a year ago when Brady Singer makes his debut in front of cardboard people, as opposed to Daniel Lynch walking off that mound after having a really good start and listening to the people. I mean, it makes the hair on my arms stand up just thinking about how exciting of a moment that is for a young player.
And I don't want the Royals to lose that momentum.
No, I don't either.
Because it's not to me incumbent upon, hey, we need to go to the ballpark and make the noise for them. No, it's for them to provide a product for you to want to go to the ballpark.
Right.
And take part
noise,
in. Yeah. And the last week's been pretty unsatisfying,
right,
in that category. And I want him to get it back. You got a big month ahead against the Central pretty much the entire month. Like, don't lose what you built in April.
Correct. Absolutely. You got to build on what you had in April. You have to take that and take it to the next level. And even if you just play 500 ball against the American League Central, based on what you did in April, you're still going to be above 500 at the end of May. And then you're really in a good spot and you're really seeing things well as you get ready to head towards June. And if you play some good baseball in June, then you start talking about, okay, what are some of the moves we can make? Who can we add to this team? How can we make this team better as we get ready to, you know, maybe make a playoff push here? So they need to kind of, you know, deviate back onto that playoffs, to that road that we were talking about with the Chiefs. They blew the tire, got back on the road, and they're headed towards the Super Bowl again. The Royals, 5 games now in a row that they lost. They're on the side of the road. They're getting that tire fixed. Get back onto that road. Find a way to start generating some runs. And maybe it's early on, Josh. You start playing a little small ball, you know, with this team. You know, and instead of relying on the big hit, maybe Whit Merrifield leads off like he has the last 2 days with a base hit, finally getting those hits in the first inning, like for 2 weeks, which he didn't. Get on first base, steal him on that first pitch. Maybe you bunt him over to third. Now you got a guy on third with one out and the middle of your order coming up, and they don't have to rely on getting a big hit. They can just put the ball in play, and you can get Witt to come in early. I think it's imperative for them to grab a lead early in this game, and I'm not opposed to them trying to play some small ball tonight in order to try to manufacture a few runs early on, and if you're able to do that, gives your team some confidence.
7:10 first pitch tonight on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Vern's On Deck Show tonight at 6. Royals and White Sox. Brad Keller against Carlos Rodon in the opener tonight. New Chiefs offensive lineman Kyle Long really stepped in it yesterday, and it ain't his fault. It's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Continues to be our fault.
Right.
He tweeted out,
"Damn,
I'm enjoying Kansas."
Okay.
Thanks, Kyle.
To which there were 250 responses.
Oh, boy.
Ranging from welcome to a whole bunch of ones saying, you know, the Chiefs play in Missouri, right?
That doesn't mean that's where he lives.
You're welcome.
He got a bunch of history lessons about Kansas and Missouri.
He should be listening to the history podcast on 610sports.com.
A bunch of tweets about how he almost should know his place that the Chiefs play in Missouri.
Who the hell cares?
Good yeah, why do grief. People care
I
so
don't
much?
Know.
He can't just make the observation that he's enjoying the state of Kansas.
The man found a crib in Kansas.
At Acres Mow. You know you're going to create a bunch of enemies in the kingdom talking about that Kansas bleep. You do know the Chiefs play in Mo, right?
I mean, if you
thank
are...
Thank you, Kyle.
If you are so upset that Kyle Long tweeted, I'm enjoying Kansas right now, what do you say, Ryan? Maybe you need a jigsaw puzzle?
That's right. You need to get like a Sudoku or something.
Is that going to be our new go-to? I think it should be a jigsaw puzzle?
Can we get like a sponsor to like give us jigsaw puzzles that we could send to people that need to have a hobby?
Like this guy here who is so upset and is like taking the Twitter and typing really mad.
I saw Hobby Lobby had like models on sale for 40% off. You can get one of those visible V8s, you know, that you can build and then you turn the crank and it actually works.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Better use of your time than heckling Kyle Long for enjoying the state of Kansas, you
right.
damn dork.
Yeah, I mean, like if that's making you mad, chances are you need maybe some balance in your life, and a puzzle is a good way to get that.
It really is.
Get one of those 500-piece puzzles, sit there on a Friday night, and put it together.
You ever try to do one of those photo mosaic puzzles?
Oh, those are tough, yeah. Woo, baby.
That'll kill all
weekend.
Yeah,
that'll put your mind at ease a little bit, not worried about Kyle Long enjoying
where he's
living.
You need to get one of those puzzle mats with those. Have you ever had one of those puzzle mats?
No, I never did.
Oh, so nice.
Is it a game changer?
It is, man. He's got the little inflatable thing. You just roll it up when you're done. You can stick it in the closet. You can go back to it later.
Oh.
Wonderful. You don't have to get your pieces all picked up.
Oh, really? I've never seen anything like that. The pieces stay together?
Yeah, you've never seen it? No, it's like a felt mat. It's got an inflatable tube that comes with it. You inflate the tube. You roll the mat around the tube. And it keeps the puzzle pieces all together.
Oh, interesting.
So that way you don't have to leave it strewn about your table.
That's a good play.
It's a great play whenever you're not annoying the hell out of Kyle Long on Twitter.
Right, telling him that you know that you're going to upset the kingdom. Are really people really that upset about this?
Word searches. Have you done a word search recently?
Word search is good, yeah.
Maybe those adult coloring books. They're making some really cool ones. You get some colored pencils. They're very therapeutic.
Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that would be good.
I mean, the weather's starting to turn. Disc golfing is available. That's free. You know, I'm happy to go with you if you don't want to have to annoy Kyle Long about enjoying the state of Kansas. Look, I don't particularly care for Kansas. I have to work here. I don't like to buy your gas. It's a little more pricey. I mean, your beer used to be not as good. Now it's finally up to snuff. But still, I still have some preconceived notions of Kansas. But I'm not going to condemn you for saying you like the state of Kansas.
You know, from the text line 816, is Jersey and New York the same thing Bob just saying? No, it's just like Kansas and Missouri. They're two different states. But people there don't lose their minds when people call them the New York Giants and they play in New Jersey.
Somebody sent him the video of, you know, how Kansas City came to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's not what he was looking for. I'm sure he doesn't really care.
Right. I don't think he really gives a rat's ass.
I don't know that was what he was searching for. Like, oh, I wanted to be more educated on how – I'm just saying I
found a nice apartment in Kansas or a house in Kansas. I'm enjoying it.
I'm enjoying Kansas thus far.
But it's a lot better than what athletes used to say, like, how do I get the hell out of here? And now we've got a guy who's tweeting that he enjoys it, and people want to jump on him and rip him apart and say, how could you do that and upset the kingdom?
He responded, this is a very strange response to someone saying they enjoy the new state they live in, not trying to make enemies, but definitely finding some crazies.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say, I'll return to Twitter after I read some more literature on Kansas and Missouri hating one another so deeply. Until then, I'll be training for my job in Kansas City. I hope all of you enjoy your evening.
316 says, last time I checked, the majority of season ticket holders are in Kansas. I'd love to see when the last time you checked.
I would like to see where
you got that information from, too.
I don't know. It's just me. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Kansas City's Kansas City.
Right. We're better as one. Like, the state line is the thing that has divided this city and, quite honestly, held this city back from doing some really great things because people fight over who's going to spend the money or how it's going to be spent instead of just what's best for the region.
The only difference I notice is I see, that's State Line Road. I'm in Missouri. Or I'm in Other than that, I don't care.
Right. I could care less. If Missouri wants to build something downtown that is going to benefit the region, and because I live in Kansas, I'm not going to sit there and say, I think I should help pay for that. I think that's a good idea.
As the official partner of the Chiefs, we do get afforded a lot of interesting opportunities, though. We were able to reach out to Kyle Long, get his reaction to it.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
There's Kyle Long.
Yes. Why do people get so bent on that?
That's a my team versus your team thing. Like,
I guess,
I'm
but
team,
like
I'm Team Missouri. I get it. But
this guy's playing for our football team.
It's
and
so
then,
ridiculous.
And he so he's still a Chief, right? And you're tweeting stuff at him that's making him go, did I make the right decision? And I don't want that. I don't want that kind of reaction to be how people perceive our town.
I went to the ballpark yesterday. Ryan, you were at the ballpark yesterday. I didn't look around and go, man, I wonder who's from my state. I don't care.
Yeah.
We were all Royals fans in a ballpark. Like, it's Kansas City.
I don't get it.
But it
sends a bad message. I mean, here's a guy who's saying, man, I signed here. I'm really enjoying my time here. And he's getting slaughtered by people on social media because of it. Gross. I mean, it's sad. Don't make that the perception. So when Kyle Long talks to buddies around the NFL and they say, what was it like? Goes, I don't know. These people are weird.
Got accosted by a bunch of people for saying I was
enjoying Kansas.
It was a nice day. A burn by a big contract. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.